Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get into how the Royals' offseason could go, in particular with a couple of extension candidates and if that's the right path. So we'll get back there in just a few minutes. But let's talk some fantasy football with our guy, Paul Charchin of GuillotineLeagues.com and FantasyLife.com. He is presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drink, Scenic Views. Well, Charge, I know they extended that trade deadline, but it's actually caused trades to happen earlier. How about this? A couple wide receivers moved, starting with Devontae Adams. I mean, nobody's surprised he's a New York Jet, but fantasy-wise, is he worth a start right away?
Yeah, well, let's start here. Can we agree that Aaron Rodgers helped engineer the Devontae Adams acquisition?
Yeah, of course.
Helped is putting it far too lightly. He obviously just made the trade happen, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then, can we also agree that Aaron Rodgers is petty enough to validate his own trade by peppering Devontae Adams with targets if he's only on the field for half of the snap?
This is true.
Yeah, that seems possible, yes.
It does, doesn't it? And here's the thing. Adams is still pretty good. You know, he was downright heroic in the Raiders' upset win over Baltimore, whatever, week two, week three, back before his hamstring injury. Suddenly he fully cured from.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yes. No, it feels great. Fantasy football is supposed to be fun. Starting Devontae Adams on Sunday, it's going to be a freaking blast. Sunday night game, nationally televised, reunion game with Aaron Rodgers. Who doesn't want to have Devontae Adams in your lineup? I mean, I don't know for sure how it's going to turn out, but what I do know is that's going to be really, really fun, and I want to have a guy going there. He's my wide receiver 35, so Adams doesn't replace your clear starters, but I think he's worth a shot in your flex position, and then you'll have a blast on Sunday night watching the game.
See, I was torn, Charge. I do have him in a PPR league, 16 team, too, by the way. So you'd think he'd be an automatic start for me, but I have Ladd McConkey, Tank Dell, and Devonta Smith. I didn't know.
Ladd McConkey out. Let's go. Let's get Adams in. I think you're gonna want this, and I think Rodgers makes a statement here, don't you?
Wait, I kind of do. I'm gonna put him in. Let's just face the reality. Plus, I didn't draft Devontae Adams to sit his ass. I don't know if that's bad fantasy strategy, but like, if where I picked him, his job's not on the bench.
Yeah, well, it is bad fantasy strategy, but I don't care, and I'm with you, and I think you should start him, and it is going to be fun. That's all that matters. We're here to have fun.
Now, what about the other movement at the wide receiver position, which, of course, is Amari Cooper? He has a real quarterback. He also has one that's not a creep anymore. He's in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Can you start Amari Cooper right away?
I don't know about right away, but I love his full season opportunity. If everything breaks just right, Amari Cooper could vault you into a fantasy championship. I mean, the landing spot's so perfect. He's the undisputed alpha receiver in Buffalo. Josh Allen's the best quarterback he's had since he left Dak Prescott. And to illustrate how good Cooper can be with capable quarterbacking, last year in those Joe Flacco starts, Cooper averaged 109 yards per game. I mean, you know, I think the guy can still play. Now, he's been terrible this year. Cooper ranks as wide receiver 71 by Pro Football Focus. He has six drops, leading six drops this year. But I blame Deshaun Watson, who drains the love of the game out of everybody around him. He's like a black hole of fun and interest in football that just gets siphoned off. And I want to believe that Cooper's going to be re-energized playing in Buffalo as the go-to receiver. But this week's matchup with Tennessee, very difficult. And he'll only be on the field for maybe half of the offensive snaps. Tennessee's a lot. We think of Tennessee as a garbage team. They've allowed the fewest points to wide receivers. Fantasy points, they've given up just two touchdowns all year. No receivers top 67 yards against the Titans. So I'm starting Adams. I'm waiting on Cooper. I'm going to give Cooper 1 week for an easier matchup and just see how this, you know, the snap count works out. He'll be at like full snap count next week. So I'm waiting 1 week on Cooper.
Clearly the theme of the week, because then we're stuck with Nick Chubb. For those who drafted him and decided to stash him on their bench or managed to pick him up a couple of weeks ago, he's back. The Browns are the worst team in football. They have fundamentally no offense, but when Nick Chubb was at his peak powers, I mean, he was a top five fantasy running back. So what do you do with Nick Chubb right away? Is this the classic wait and see?
Well, see, normally I would say yes, but Jerome Ford, their starter, is not expected to play. He's got a hamstring. Their other runners, Pierre Strong and Dante Foreman, should not be rostered on any NFL team. And the opponent is Cincinnati. This is a crazy favorable matchup. Five of six opponents to face Cincinnati have scored rushing touchdowns. Five of six opponents' lead runners have topped 107 total yards, and the Bengals rank dead last in run defense success rate. So Chubb getting maybe half the workload, it still feels like 10 touches might be enough against the Cincinnati defense. So, you know, in a pinch, I think he's startable. He's my running back 35. You could do worse right now. And God, does Kevin Stefanski need a feel-good story? Getting Nick Chubb into the end zone would be a feel-good story that team needs.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Here locally, we know the Chiefs coming off a bye week. They're heading out to Santa Clara Sunday afternoon to take on the 49ers. We've talked a ton here about how the Chiefs have done against top receivers, but of course tight ends have had success. I think obviously Kelce and Kittle are obvious starts for Sunday. What about other positions? You know, the running back in particular for the Niners, Jordan Mason, a little banged up in Kansas City. Everybody feels like Kareem Hunt is the guy right now too.
Yeah, with all the carries he's got. I didn't see him just turning into a workhorse. I didn't see it coming. Did you guys see that as the probable outcome for Kareem Hunt?
Not 27 carries. The problem is we couldn't have guessed that Carson Steele would fumble in his first five touches. The second that happened, Andy just flips the script.
He does. Andy loves his guys. I mean, if you're on the inside with Andy, you get like Mecole Hardman treatment, Juju Smith-Schuster treatment. I want to talk about him in a second. If Mason goes, you got to start him, right? And if he doesn't go, then you have to start Garendo because they just pound the rock, and those guys are going to get tons of carries. Your run defense has been fantastic, maybe the best in the league, but those guys are, you know, the San Francisco lead runner has to be started in my mind. Now, the interesting guy that you might consider sitting is Brandon Ayuk against Trent McDuffie. You mean McDuffie to me he is a tier two shutdown corner. He's only behind the likes of Jalen Johnson and Sauce Gardner and maybe Patrick Surtain. I mean, that's it. Then I go right to Trent McDuffie. He's giving up 25 yards per game in his coverage. And when opposing teams have got an obvious number one outside receiver, McDuffie usually shadows that guy, and that's going to be Ayuk. So I'm lukewarm on him. Tell me what you think about Juju Smith-Schuster. Because before the bye, in that one small game sample where we had without Rashee Rice, Juju looked good.
Yep.
He had a 66% route share. He had a 24% of the targets. He had 34% of the air yards. He finished week five as wide receiver 12. So what do you think about his usage here? Was that a one-game aberration, or do you think he's going to continue to get a lot of the work that Rashee Rice left behind?
Yeah, I don't know if Cody agrees with me on this or not. I might be in the minority in Kansas City. I'm kind of fading the performance. You know, I think his prop bet is 44.5. receiving yards. I'm actually kind of leaning towards the under in that because I don't think that performance last week was something people should expect. And this team seems like a very easy spot for the public to say, well, he had 130 last week. 44, that number is way too low. It would not surprise me if that number is below 44 yards in this game.
I think in fantasy, he'll be okay to start for a few weeks, Charge, but it all comes down to the trade. Sometimes it feels like in fantasy, you know this, you're trying to squeeze 3 weeks worth of life out of somebody before somebody else comes out. So, he might be worth it from that perspective. But, yeah, I don't think he's, a wide receiver one or two yet, at least on that end. But he's obviously a viable start.
I've got him wide receiver 30 this week. Yeah. He's got a tough matchup against a good slot corner, D'Amador Lenore. He hasn't given up a touchdown this year. He gives up 29 yards per game in his coverage. So, you know, I feel like he's just on the cusp of startability for Juju. Do you feel like a trade is inevitable?
Yes.
A wide receiver trade acquisition.
I think Andy pretty much said as much. If you listen to his press conference the other day, he said, you asked about a trade. I didn't say we were trading for anyone. It sounded like it sounded like your buddy when you said you saw him maybe hanging out with his ex. And you're like, oh, I didn't know. Nothing was happening there. I just ran into him at the bar. And you're like, nothing. Something smells wrong.
That does. That doesn't feel right, does it? I don't know who trade targets are. I mean, because
Slayton,
the obvious trade
Johnson
targets just got moved.
Yeah, yeah. Darius Slayton and Deontay Johnson are the two names everybody here at least has keyed in on, other than bringing back familiar faces, which I'm not interested in, and DeMarcus Robinson or MVS. Ugh.
Don't do it. You already got MVS in Xavier Worthy.
100%
you do not need another MVS.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, though, you know? Every time MVS has been on this roster, they've won the whole thing. Charge, I want to ask you one more thing. I know there's no Patrick Surtain tonight. So take that with a grain of salt. The game tonight is Saints-Broncos, for those who are paying attention. If you own a single player that you are starting in fantasy in either of these teams, should you just quit?
give up the game.
it's not for you.
It's just like at this point, why am I doing this to myself? This is the perfect night where you tell your spouse, you know, hun, and this could be a man or a woman, hun, it's John Elway and the Denver Broncos against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, but I love you so much. Let's just go take a walk tonight. Let's go out. Let me take you out. Let's go out to a movie. Let's go out for dinner. You know, we'll just shut the TV off and we'll spend some time together tonight. That might be better than Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix.
Some of us are sicker than others, though, Charge. I'll be watching tonight.
He's got the over.
I got the under on the game, and I also have the Broncos -2.5.
Well, I can't blame you for taking the under, although get to learn Mason Tipton. Your starting receivers for the Saints.
Bub Means, baby.
Bub Means, Cedric Wilson, and Mason Tipton. And I'm like, who is Mason Tipton? So I started looking at Mason Tipton. He played at Yale, so I pull up his highlights on YouTube. I'm trying to figure out who this guy is. He's just crushing, like, Princeton and Brown, right, and Harvard. And it reminded me of arguably the greatest prank ever played, sports-related prank in the history of American sports. Are you familiar with the Harvard-Yale prank?
No,
I don't think so.
All right, let me tell you about it. The year is 2004. It's a home game, Harvard versus Yale. Obviously, these are like 200-year rivals, right? Harvard and Yale. The rivalry is deep here. And the game's at Harvard. The Harvard pep team is distributing those cardboard signs that where everybody holds them up at once and it spells out something. Right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Harvard pep team goes through the stands. They've got it all charted out. They give everybody the placards that they're going to hold up at halftime. And at halftime, the Harvard pep team indicates for everybody, and it's, you know, it's like 20 kids, everybody to lift up their placards. There is no Harvard pep team. It was a bunch of Yale students. And when they all lifted up their placards, it spelled out, "We suck."
So maybe I'll start tipping tonight just great. For fun, you know?
That's terrific.
That is brilliant, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's a very Harvard-Yale kind of prank right there.
Very smart. Deep. They had to pull that one off. Very good.
Charge, appreciate it, man. Best of luck this week, and we'll check in a week from now.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.